Okay, we'll have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Clemens?
Yes, here.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Here.
Commissioner Chavez?
Here.
Commissioner Barker?
Here.
Chairman Nord?
Here. Here we have a public comment section. This is the section provides opportunities for members of the public to speak to this planning commission on items of interest and within their jurisdiction that are not on the agenda. For those on the agenda, there will be a public hearing for that in just a few minutes. So if anyone would like to speak on an issue that is not on the agenda, now is the time.
Oh, what's on the agenda?
Let's see here. Ordinance in relation to medical marijuana? Okay, yeah, there'll be a time for that. Okay, any other comments in the public comment section? Okay, hearing none, we'll move ahead to the consent agenda, which is the building report for the month of October. What do you think, David? Anything unusual there that jumps out at us?
The only thing that jumped out at me was I looked at the valuation total year-to-date. Looks like it's comparable to last year-to-date, so it doesn't look like much change.
Pretty same, huh?
And
same old, same old.
And three new home starts for the month of October, which is what we've been getting throughout the year.
Okay. Any questions, commissioners, of anything on that report? Okay, and entertain a motion then for approval.
Move for approval of the building report for October 2009.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further comment? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Clemens?
Yes.
Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. Okay, number two on the agenda is a public hearing, proposed ordinance amendment, application 2009-2, an amendment to the City of Reedley Municipal Code regulating medical marijuana use. We have a staff report, and then we'll have a public hearing on this.
Thank you, Chairman Nord. Police Chief Wright is going to give a report from a law enforcement perspective. Much of that information is contained in the staff report before you. This is an ordinance amendment to prohibit medical marijuana dispensaries, but it also defines how medical marijuana can be grown within the city limits. The ordinance is intended to be in compliance with state law and also included in your staff report is a resolution recommending approval to the City Council. Your recommendation will be advanced to the City Council and go through the normal process.
Okay.
Again, Police Chief Wright will share some information.
Good evening, Mayor, so the members of the board, Mr. Chairman. The report that I prepared for you tonight is somewhat lengthy. It includes some excerpts from the California Police Chiefs Association position paper that was put out in August of 2009. It also includes some excerpts from the Attorney General's report that the Attorney General was put out in August of 2008, which is a opinion paper on several different components of both medical marijuana use under Prop 215 in the state of California, the Senate Bill 420, which is law passed in 2004, I believe, on the requirement for all counties in the state to issue medical marijuana use cards, and also how the federal statute under the CSA, the Controlled Substance Act, and the state laws somewhat conflict, and how we're, as a legislative body, some recommendations on how to deal with those conflicts, and some of the ambiguities that exist for law enforcement and how we deal with some of those issues, because it is somewhat complicated. So I don't want to make it any more complicated than it is, but I have prepared a copy of the Attorney General's report for each of you that was put out in 2008 with his opinions on most of those issues, just for your perusal, Francis. Just to give you a little historical information, In 1996, the California voters passed Proposition 215, which is otherwise known as the Compassionate Use Act. It was an initiative authorizing the limited possession, cultivation, and use of marijuana by patients and their care providers for certain medical purposes recommended by a physician without subjecting that person to criminal punishment. One of the things that we've had to deal with in this law has been some of the definitions and some of the defining information that has created some difficulty for us. And one of those, and what is what I'll bring up next, is the issue of what a primary caregiver is. And according to the Act creates an exemption for criminal prosecution for physicians as well as patients and primary caregivers who possess or cultivate marijuana for medical purposes with the recommendation or approval of a physician. And a primary caregiver is defined as the individual designated by a qualified patient or person with an identification card who has consistently assumed responsibility for the housing, health, or safety of that patient or person. And when we talk about the term dispensaries, that's one of the things that they've been finding out has been one of the difficult terminologies to try to define. In many of the dispensaries, the individuals going in, the medical patients going in to get the supply of the medical marijuana are in many cases signing caregiver notices for the dispensary. So the people who are supplying the marijuana are giving these forms to the medical marijuana patient declaring that dispensary person as their caregiver. And so that has created some difficulty for law enforcement because under the definition they're not a caregiver. So that's been one of the issues that's come up with dispensaries and one of the difficulties in that definition. The other definitions that we're dealing with in this act are the act of collectives and corroboratives. And under this particular act, there's a few specific provisions where people can cultivate, possess, grow, and distribute marijuana for medical use. And under the Act, under Prop 215, patients who do have a doctor's recommendation are legally entitled to possess, cultivate, and possess marijuana for their medical use. So, and nowhere in any of these reports are we disputing that particular issue. The issue at hand is whether or not we believe that allowing a dispensary or a corroborative or a collective is satisfactory for the city of Reedley for public health and safety. And so in the particular act in 2003, the California State Legislature enacted Senate Bill 420, which is the Medical Marijuana Program Act, which directs all California counties to set up and administer a voluntary. This is the other issue that many cities, counties, and even law enforcement is having with this particular act, is the voluntary nature of the identification card. But they set up and administer a voluntary identification card system for medical marijuana users and their caregivers. The conflicts arise for municipalities over the issues regarding caregivers, cooperatives, and the legal aspects of allowing medical marijuana dispensaries, which are not specifically authorized by the Act. So nowhere in the Act does it say that a dispensary is legal. In fact, under the strict definition of what a dispensary is and what collectives and cooperatives are, they're specifically illegal. They're not allowed either under federal law, nor are they allowed under state law. So in reality, the issue of dispensaries should not even be we shouldn't even be discussing them because they are illegal under state and federal law. The issue, like I say, has come up only because there are some that are trying to declare themselves as collectives, cooperatives, and as primary caregivers for medical marijuana patients. So the issue that I guess we're bringing for you tonight is to actually review the material and determine whether we believe, you know, under the law, federal or state, whether it is legal or it's consistent with the philosophy and the mission of the City of Reedley to have a dispensary that allows the distribution, the illegal distribution of a controlled substance under the Schedule I Controlled Substance Act. Like I said, without any prejudice to those individuals who are, you know, legitimate medical marijuana users. You know, and I understand the difficulty of they're entitled to have it and use it under a doctor's recommendation. So where do they get it? Under the law, under the Compassionate Use Act, under Prop 215, they are allowed to grow and cultivate their own. They're also allowed to join collectives and cooperatives, which is a group of individuals who decide that are all either caregivers or medical marijuana patients who all get together in one city or county and develop a collective or cooperative where they grow and cultivate for their own consumption and use, not to be distributed or sold to anyone else who's not part of that collective. And each individual patient is allowed to grow and cultivate a certain number of mature and immature plants. Nothing anywhere in any of the law allows them the legal ability to create a storefront to then supply it to other people who are not members of the collective or cooperative. So the other thing that I've submitted to you in the report are some adverse effects on society and on communities that are well documented throughout the state of California. Even legal medical marijuana patients are becoming victims of crime because they are growing their own marijuana in their own yards legally. And unfortunately, they are becoming the victims of people who want to attack them and victimize them for their own legally cultivated and grown medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to see that happen here either to anyone who might be a legal medical marijuana patient. We have to go on the assumption that, you know, doctors are giving these recommendations out, and if they're not legitimate, the doctors risk losing their license as a doctor. They're strictly controlled and monitored by the medical board, the Medi-Cal board. So the assumption has to be that these folks that are doing this are legitimately have a medical need for this, for the medical marijuana, so they're becoming victims. The dispensaries that have opened up in places throughout the state have also become victim to some very violent crimes. And one of the things that I stand on a soapbox a lot about is prevention. And if we see that there are issues of some very serious crime patterns taking place at the dispensaries and even with people who are legitimately growing and cultivating medical marijuana, I think it behooves us to make a decision to try to prevent those things from happening here. In one of the recommendations, we were even discussing this at a chief's meeting yesterday, and we were, you know, trying to figure out how law enforcement is going to know if somebody who's residing at a certain house has, you know, legitimately growing medical marijuana in their backyard. And somebody said, well, they should post a sign in their window. And, and that subjects them even more to being a victim of a crime. So now everybody knows they're growing medical marijuana. So there's a lot of difficult issues related to this particular law. So I won't go through all the particular crimes. I've listed them for you. They go all the way, you know, from Ukiah to, you know, Willits, Santa Barbara, Mendocino. They're listed there. I've listed references in the report of to verify any of these incidents. Every single one of them have been documented and verified as being the result of a medical marijuana dispensary or the cultivation or growing of medical marijuana, even legitimately. I've also listed some of the adverse secondary impacts at the community at large, which include, street dealers loitering around dispensaries trying to sell for a cheaper cost. One of the other things related to dispensaries is, you know, they're not allowed to sell or make a profit. When you hear about some of the dispensaries that are open in Oakland and some of those places, and they talk about paying $4 million in taxes to the city, you know, contributing that much in taxes, well, I say you're probably selling something for a pretty good profit if you can pay $4 million in taxes to a community. And although, you know, financially that may look good, but what are the other adverse impacts, you know, of providing that and the other crimes that go along with it? But I've listed those as well: loitering, smoking marijuana in public, which is pretty strictly prohibited by the act anyway. Increases in burglaries at or near dispensaries, which are well documented as well. Loss of trade for commercial businesses, depending on where the dispensaries are. If you put a dispensary right next to the Bible bookstore, I'm not sure that would be a very good location, economic development kind of a thing we'd want to, you know, have done. So, I mean, it might create, you know, it might increase business one place and activity of one kind, but it would decrease activity and business of another. And I don't think that's what we want to do either. The potential of selling, you know, other illegal substances just because of the draw, the clientele, you know, that may be drawn to that particular business, along with increased organized gang activities. You know, it's well documented also that gangs are more and more involved in the sale of narcotics, and if they see an opportunity to get involved in what appears to be a legitimate storefront, it's very likely that they would take the opportunity to get involved in that activity too, which would more proliferate, you know, the money going to the gangs and that sort of thing, and we want to discourage that as well. We're concerned with the exposure of minors to this type of conduct and activity, and it's pretty well documented. The report from the Attorney General confirms much of the information. Along with what the primary caregiver, the definition, there's a very lengthy definition of what a primary caregiver is, which is very consistent with my report. There's definitions of what a statutory cooperative is, what a collective is, and both of them are very similar in nature, where they can only supply whatever it is they're manufacturing to their members, or any revenues from the distribution of that goes only to the members. There's no profit, and that the only people that can benefit are the members. So it creates a real difficulty if you have a storefront that is that's supplying to anybody who is a medical marijuana patient. How do you verify whether those folks are actually part of the collective or cooperative? So it makes it very difficult from an enforcement perspective. If you have any questions of me specifically about anything else or the report, I'll be happy to answer anything.
Okay. We we may well.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In the identification process, that is a state agency that tracks or records the people eligible or who are licensed to carry that card?
That's correct.
And my question is, does the city or do municipalities as such bodies have the ability to request and obtain that information as on a whole?
Yes, the information is on a website. We can actually go to the state website, punch in the ID number off of a card, and it'll bring up the information on the person and what their limitations are. It won't give us any medical condition associated with that use, but it will give us what the doctor has recommended they're allowed to possess, cultivate, and control. So all of that information is available on the state website. I don't have specific information on who can access that information. If it's only available to municipalities, county agencies, or law enforcement, I don't know if it's available to the public, but it is available to us.
I'd be just out of curiosity, specifically for like law enforcement, if they'd be able to, you know, by zip code, recognize how many cardholders are in there, or by city, rather.
I don't believe so. I think it's the only thing that's available to us that at least that I'm aware of is the ability to verify based on an ID number. I don't think we can do random searches, you know, by zip code or anything like that.
Now, are these cards issued by the state, by the county?
They are issued by the state through the county. The county, the state is the one that mandates the issuance through the Department of Public Health at each county level. So people who reside within Fresno County will go to the Fresno County Department of Public Health and apply for the card there and be issued the card, but it is a state regulated card.
Does it require an in-state doctor, a licensed physician?
Yes.
Within the state of California?
Yes. Yeah, it's in the Attorney General's report. Yeah, requires a doctor's recommendation. One of the problems is, and one of the things I think law enforcement is a little bit concerned with, is that the cards are not mandatory. You can be a recommended medical marijuana patient and not get a card, and still legally possess marijuana and cultivate and, you know, grow marijuana. And all you have to have is a doctor's note, for, you know, because it's illegal for doctors to prescribe medical marijuana because marijuana is a Schedule I drug. And a Schedule I drug under the Controlled Substance Act is illegal to be prescribed by any doctor, kind of like heroin and that kind of stuff. So you can't prescribe it. The FDA says you can't prescribe it. It's got no proven medical use. So the only thing that a doctor can do is recommend it as a form of the medical term, therapy or you know, like taking any kind of medication for any kind of, you know, condition, but a doctor can only recommend it. So if I am a medical marijuana patient and I have a recommendation from a doctor and I carry that in my pocket, that's just as good as a medical marijuana card. Although only verifiable during the working hours of that particular doctor. If law enforcement contacts a medical marijuana patient at 3:00 in the morning with a note, it's unverifiable. We can't verify. If they have a card, we can go to our computer in our car, type in the number, verify it, and we're good. And they have to be renewed every year.
And if I read just a moment ago, it said that if you didn't have verification, you could take that marijuana until such time it was proven.
Correct.
Interesting.
I heard at Stanford, I go there for cancer treatments and stuff, that they had been given like $9 million to do a study on this. I don't know what the outcome is or what, but they're still, they grow it and they study it or for medical use and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they do. I'm sure there's a lot of studies out there. I mean, the reason the Compassionate Use Act was passed, I'm sure, is because there was a study that somebody quoted, that somebody did and quoted, that said it was, you know, it was valuable as a treatment for many chronic conditions. So, and I've spoken with, you know, several attorneys and who have said even, you know, their 83-year-old grandmothers take it for some, you know, for like appetite problems and things like that, stomach ulcers, cancer, cataracts, and it does, you know, it does help with some of those conditions where other things don't. So, I mean, I can't dispute that. I mean, I'm not a doctor by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm sure there are studies out there ongoing. This is a huge issue statewide, even nationally. You know, I think Colorado recently legalized marijuana across the board, and so. Yeah. So maybe we'll see an exodus from California to Colorado. I don't know.
But even if the state legalizes it, it's still federally illegal.
Still federally illegal, yes. Yeah.
But it's legal in the state.
Of Colorado.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Unless the feds want to come in.
Right, and they've taken a position, and that's one of the reasons this has reared its head right now, is because the federal government has loosened up its restrictions and said, you know, they're gonna leave it to the locals to control it now, whereas dispensaries would open, and that's what law enforcement was primarily basing its, you know, its philosophy on as far as dispensaries, when is that they're still illegal under federal law, and even though the state was backing off on, you know, at regulations, if they opened, the feds would come in, close them down, and they were done. And now the federal government has said, we're not going to touch them. That's local. And so all the locals now have to decide whether or not they're going to allow them.
Right, so now, dispensaries are not mentioned in either one of these acts.
No.
However, a cooperative are.
Yes.
Now, if and I haven't I'll be honest in reading this. The definition or the limitations on a cooperative, are you familiar with those?
Yes, to some degree, yes.
What is the what are the limitations in terms of members and production?
As far as the number?
Number of members that can be part of a cooperative.
There's no restriction on the number of members that can be in a cooperative. The limitations on cultivation and growth is 6 mature plants per medical marijuana user and 12 immature plants per medical marijuana patient, unless a doctor has given that person a particular recommendation for more because of their particular condition. There is no limitation on the number of people who can be part of a cooperative, but every person who's in a cooperative, for example, if I have 100 people in my cooperative that are all medical marijuana patients or caregivers, then the only amount of product that I can cultivate is the number equal to the number of patients, medical marijuana patients, and the only people I can distribute that to are those people who are in that cooperative. The only people who are not patients who can deliver or distribute are the caregivers of those patients. So it has to stay within the bubble. It can't be to anybody outside the cooperative who comes in and says, hey, can I have some of that? You can't do it. And you can't sell it. So, can't sell it for a profit.
What are the record-keeping requirements of a cooperative? Will they need to report to the local Department of Health? Or?
There are only recommendations. In the Attorney General's report, they have put out only recommendations for reporting. I don't know that there are specific absolutes on what you have to have and don't have to have. they do have to have, I mean, there are some things that everybody has to have. Either you have to keep on file the recommendations from the doctor for all of the medical marijuana patients. You have to keep the copies of the caregiver cards, because each caregiver must have a caregiver card. They recommend that they keep the application of each person requesting to be involved in the cooperative on file. And that's about it.
Now, I'm assuming these cooperatives will be in a private home?
There's no...
I mean, are we looking at instead of a dispensary versus cooperative? I mean, could I...
Well, I think that might be addressed by the zoning issue.
Yeah, that's what I'm... Because we're... It's getting kind of blurry here.
It's very blurry.
Yeah, I mean, because I could go from ABC Marijuana Dispensary, close the lock, shut it down, and then ABC Marijuana Cooperative opens up right next door to a door in the wall between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the line is pretty blurred. And for I think for all intents and purposes, the idea of cooperatives are rural, not urban, where you have, you know, farmland or something like that, where, you know, a ranch or something, and that's where, you know, one person or a group of people do the growing and cultivating, and then the people who are the patients come there to get, you know, they are all either the caregivers or, you know, part of the cooperative. But it has to be a, you know, if you look at the guidelines, it has to be a corporation.
It's a bona fide cooperative. Yeah,
yeah,
really.
It has to, you have to file papers as a cooperation. So, and to my knowledge, none of the existing dispensaries have done that. That's why 8 of the 9 have been shut down in Fresno, city of Fresno.
This ordinance amendment is intended to comply with state law and recognize the rights of legitimate medical marijuana users that have a prescription. There are two sections in the ordinance amendment. One is in the law enforcement section, where it's defining medical marijuana and a variety of terms related to that use. And then there's the zoning ordinance section saying where you can do what. And from a medical marijuana patient's perspective, it's allowing you to grow your plants at your home if you have a prescription. And then if you're a caregiver, it's allowing you to grow within the term, within the definition of the numbers, at your legitimate commercial location if you're a caregiver. So it's conceivable that if you have a doctor's office in town and you're a primary caregiver and you have X number of patients, you're going to have the right to do that in that zone district. It's not intended, and you can't run a medical office from your home, so you're not going to be doing that out of your home. If there's going to be a cooperative, it's probably going to be at a primary caregiver's location. Then, as the police chief mentioned, it doesn't really fit in a commercial setting. Doesn't mean it can't happen. But it's really intended to, the ordinance is intended to recognize the rights established by California law and leave it at that. And we're clear on the dispensaries not being anything that we need to recognize. The city attorney is very clear on that. And we believe that what we've laid out in the zoning ordinance section complies with the law and keeps Reed Lee's permissive as is necessary.
Okay, why don't we put you on hold, mm-hmm. Sir, we can come back for more questions a little bit. Let's have our public hearing so we can get any input that we might get on something like that. So at this time, I will open public hearing on this proposed amendment and ask that anyone's here to speak either pro or con on the issue, please step forward at this time, if you will, to the microphone. State your name and address for the record, if you will. And
hi, my name is Brian Cordova. I live at 16919 South Walker Court here in Reedley. I'm a local musician and I'm a medical marijuana patient. I came today because I wanted to speak up in defense of medical marijuana, and I wanted to provide some contradictory information to some of the information that's already been stated. Chief Wright said that the dispensaries are illegal, And I brought some information with me today from the Americans for Safe Access website. That's ASA. It's an organization of medical professionals, scientists, and patients. And there's a lot of stuff in here that gives definitions for things, including what is a cannabis dispensary. Stated here, it says the majority of medical marijuana patients cannot cultivate their medicines for themselves or find a caregiver to grow it for them. Most of California's estimated 200,000 patients obtain their medicine from a medical cannabis dispensing collective, also referred to as a dispensary. So there seems to be a problem with the definitions here between dispensary, collective, cooperative. And according to this information here, dispensaries are legal. It says medical cannabis dispensaries are legal under state law due to Senate Bill 420, which Chief Wright already quoted. Senate Bill 420 expressly states that qualified patients and primary caregivers may collectively or cooperatively cultivate cannabis for medical purposes. And it also provides for those people that are doing the cooperative to receive reimbursement for services rendered in supplying the patient with medical marijuana. So he said that there's nothing in there that says that anyone can receive any kind of monetary compensation. I would say that's not true, that you can receive monetary compensation. He also said a lot of things about marijuana causing crime as far as dispensaries, that the crime rate in areas with dispensaries raises, that mentioned that there's a lot of evidence and that it's well documented, but I did not hear any actual evidence to say what it was that was actually well documented. I would like to show some evidence that says that marijuana dispensaries do not increase crime in their areas. And as soon as I find this here. There is many cities here that have had marijuana dispensaries. And so the officials in these areas have made comments on how this has affected the crime in that area. One of these people is the sheriff here in Kern County. And he says that existing dispensaries have not caused noticeable law enforcement or secondary effects. And that places like this, security cameras are often used inside and outside the premises. And security guards are often employed to ensure safety. The cameras and the security guards serve as a general detriment to criminal activity and other problems on the street. So he's saying that they have people that are sitting outside of collectives attempting to sell you marijuana at a discounted price rather than at the club. Well, you wouldn't be able to do that because they have cameras out there. And that would severely jeopardize their ability to run a business if they were going to allow people sitting outside their store to sit there and smoke marijuana and attempt to sell marijuana. Anybody that's interested in running a business would not allow something like that to go on, especially if you have cameras to document the whole thing. In cities like Santa Rosa, Mayor Jane Bender says that since the city passed its ordinances allowing medical marijuana, there appears to be a decrease in criminal activity. There's definitely been a decrease in complaints, and the city says they have had no complaints from either citizens or neighboring businesses. Earlier, it was stated that we might not want to have these places next to some of our businesses downtown. He made the reference to the Bible store. I would say that it's not our business to say what kind of businesses go downtown or go downtown or whether or not we like them or not, that everyone has a right to have their own business. This is the city of Reedley. It's not like you can go somewhere else. So you're going to go on top of the mountain somewhere. This is our city district. It is small. If you're going to have something downtown, it's going to be next to something else. There's nothing that you can do about that. And all the information that I have here shows that it's not a problem and that neighboring businesses do not have a problem with it. Also, he mentioned that there have been attacks on dispensaries where they have been robbing them and stuff like that. Well, I would argue that any place that has something of value to somebody else stands at risk of getting robbed. That's not a reason why not to have a business. He says well documented, but I'd have looked a lot here on the internet and reading on newspaper articles looking for the specific cases that he's mentioning, and I haven't really been able to find that many. Also about the patients, all the places that I've been to that do medical marijuana are very, very strict and regulated, that everybody has to be verified at least a couple times before that you're allowed to do anything. It's not a place where just people come up and show up and say, I want some pot. That does not happen. You have to be verified. And basically, it's just not really in the interest of the medical marijuana patients to have this type of business, what's the right word I'm looking for, stigmatized by the articles that have been running the exponent, by the comments that our police chief has made. It's been made perfectly clear that this is something that the city does not look at kindly. It's something that is viewed as a nuisance, as a problem, and something that we would best put somewhere else out of public view. I think this makes it very hard for medical marijuana patients to view themselves as being criminals or whatever it is that they're trying to, you know, being portrayed as. And I think it's against the city's interest to stigmatize people. If you have a medical condition and the information that you're getting from your city is all bad, or why would you want to go and see your doctor and ask to get a medical marijuana recommendation? You know, everyone seems to be against it. I think that we should support patients. And basically, it's an issue between the doctor and the patients. And law enforcement really has no part in getting involved in that and getting in the middle. We should have never tried to enact something that prevents someone that's legally prescribed a medication from obtaining that. They have the right to have it, but you want to, it seems that it wants to be made harder to get. And I don't see why anybody would want to make medication of any sort harder for anybody that's a medical patient to get. It's not our job to do that. If you know, okay. That's basically what I wanted to say. Okay. So does anyone have any questions I can answer? Just kind of had to come up this real quick here.
Well, first of all, I'd have to say that it may just be me, but I didn't hear our police chief stigmatizing anyone tonight.
Well, I read in the...
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
As a matter of fact, I think he probably went out of his way to not stigmatize this, and at least in this venue, try and take as neutral a position as possible from just what I've heard. You may have been reading something else in the exponent or someplace, but I didn't hear that tonight.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of going from that point of view. You're saying the operator of the business. Well, this federal and state law specifically says this cannot be a business because a business operates on a profit, and this cannot make a profit. Okay. And you're saying that a proprietor, for what other reason would you go into business other than to make a profit? And once again, law says you cannot make a profit on this.
Okay.
Okay. Putting in, any time we know that we need to put in security cameras, we know the cameras are not there just so people can walk by and smile. They're there to prevent problems.
Right.
All right. So we're expecting problems. Okay. And I think not to expect problems in a situation like this, in a state where, from what I gather, marijuana is the number one cash crop right now, I think is naive on our part. All right. I would ask, who is running the business? The person, according to what I read in the law here, the person who is running the business has to be a provider or part of the cooperative, all right, who would necessarily be in the business not to make a profit. So I'm what I'm hearing from you, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that the person who is going to be running the business is going to be in it for profit. Because you said you started your statement off with something to the effect that why would someone go into business and not expect to make money? No one else would be expected to do that. And I think the whole basis of the federal and state approach to this is we've got to keep this as, this is out there,
deficit neutral as possible. Okay? So I'm a little confused there. And you brought up at the end, toward the end there, the law has required, has granted this privilege to those in California, and I agree, they have a legal right to this. But the law also goes on to say there's also protection not only for the patients, but also for the public. And the protection for the public says we have to take a look at this from a realistic approach. And I know you're a little biased because you're a medical marijuana user, and I want to help you as much as I possibly can, because if you need it, more, do whatever we can to to help you obtain it. But we still have to, we're in a kind of precarious position here. We've got to balance your needs along, there's two sides to the law. There's a protection, and then there's the benefit. And I think our police chief was coming from the protection, not only of the medical marijuana user, because the information I've seen presented kind of comes from the viewpoint of let's protect those who are using it, are needing it, are being prescribed it. And you were mentioning earlier, being prescribed. Federal law prohibits it from being prescribed. It can be suggested.
Yeah, it's recommended.
It's recommended. Okay. So we're, kind of cut us a little slack here. We're kind of on shaky ground, blurry thing here that, the feds say it's illegal. The state said it's not legal. The feds said it's illegal, but we're not going to prosecute it. So we're kind of doing trying
right
to do a balancing act here.
As far as that goes, I would think that since law enforcement is a branch of the state of California, not the federal government, that whatever the federal government has to say about it, period, really shouldn't matter. It's a state-run business, as a the law enforcement agency. They shouldn't really have any concern with what the federal statutes are.
I have to beg to differ with you, because when he took his oath, just like I did as a teacher, I promised to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Right.
Okay, so the Constitution of the United States far outrides, and to take a viewpoint that it doesn't matter.
I'm not saying that it doesn't matter. It's definitely good to look at it, but as far as what's legal and not legal, I think it would be fairly clear that state law would supersede federal law in this instance.
I'm sorry, but state law never supersedes federal law. Never. Never has in the history of this country. And I'm a constitutional teacher, so
okay.
State law does not supersede federal law.
Well, then I'd like to say also about, you're talking about running the business for profit. In my experience, there's many medical marijuana collectives that give away their medicine for free to terminally ill patients. So how would you determine whether or not they're going to do this and be like a free-based place, or whether or not they're going to run for profit? I would say that it doesn't matter. That it's not,
Well, it doesn't matter until the law comes into play. And the law says it matters.
Right. Right.
But it matters what the law says.
Right. When I read Senate Bill 420, I read that it had a provision for the people that provided the service to be compensated. Now, I could be wrong. I could have got a bad copy. Or maybe you got a bad copy. But from what I saw, it says that people are able to be compensated.
Does it give a
monetarily.
Schedule of compensation?
A what?
A schedule of compensation?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so it's open to interpretation, apparently.
Right.
Okay. If the law says that they can't make a profit, there's not too much wiggle room there.
No, if it says that you can't, then you can't. I understand that. I'm saying that it says that you can.
And that's, that's to be determined.
Right.
Okay. So
also about having security cameras and stuff, that putting up security cameras is anticipating a problem. Anybody that owns a business where they have something that could be stolen gets security cameras. Does that mean that they shouldn't run that business because they're anticipating problems?
Well, once again, you're going into the term of business. I don't think anywhere that I've heard so far, either in the law or what the chief has mentioned, is this is to be run as a business.
Okay. Let me reword that then. I'm sorry about that. If any individual or group of individuals is going to have something that another person would want to steal, then, you know, I've seen that, you know, you'd want to have cameras and you'd want to have security. It's not necessarily that, it's not a bad thing to keep your stuff safe, you know. I don't see why having these places have security cameras. That seems like a good thing to me, especially if the cameras are on the outside and they could also monitor any kind of crime that's going on in the general area, which would decrease crime not only in that specific spot, but in the surrounding areas as well.
Well,
I think it would be crime detriment.
But the voters of California in 1995, was it, Chief? 96 didn't pass the Compassionate Use of Ice Cream Act.
Right.
They were talking about the Compassionate Use of Marijuana Act. So, I mean, bringing in other things here to discuss is kind of nebulous. It doesn't stick with what...
No, I'm talking about medical dispensaries having security cameras.
Yeah, but then you're bringing in other businesses in here, and I don't think other businesses are any concern to us right here.
We'll right.
talk about those at other meetings.
Right, okay.
And,
I just think that they...
start talking about an ice cream shop or the Bible House downtown or something like that, and using that as an example of a business. I mean, pick any business in town. If we put a medical marijuana dispensary downtown, there's not going to be any comparison with any other business in town, because it's apparently, according to even the state attorney general's recommendation, it's more or less open to each local entity. Which I'm sorry to say, but it's kind of dumped it in your lap. You're the one that's going to really have to be, and I'm glad you're here. I really am, because we love to hear your voice, but this is not an easy situation.
No, I understand.
I'm glad to see how adamant you are and what a strong voice you have. So, but we've got to stick with what the law says. We've
right.
got to go by that. And bringing in other comparisons, you know, I don't think there's any way, shape, or form we can compare an ice cream shop with a medical marijuana cooperative. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just can't do it. Just like we wouldn't compare a barbecue joint with a tractor company, you know. So, because there wasn't the compassionate use of tractors passed in 1996.
Right.
So.
Okay, let's move ahead then. And any further questions for the gentleman? We may.
Can, just out of curiosity, can you just, like, go to the pharmacy and walk in with your prescription and say, I need X number of ounces?
No, they don't carry that at the pharmacy. You'd have to go to a medical marijuana collective. They had one here in Fresno, just got shut down. It's kind of like a pharmacy, you know.
Okay.
But it only
the only product there is medical marijuana.
Right, that's the only product there. And to get in, you have to be a member of that specific place, and they verify you.
Okay.
So it's not like anybody can just go into any place and just buy whatever they want. You have to go through a process to where you get verified by those specific
okay,
places.
And I guess that's the question then. When you go to a cooperative, you purchase that product because somebody is specifically growing it for your use.
Right.
Because you don't grow your own.
Right.
Okay. And as a end user, you have no knowledge whether they make a profit on it or not. That's not of any concern to you.
Right.
You're just filling your prescription.
Right. I'm just doing what's allowed for me to do.
Okay. Interesting. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyone else want to speak on this during the public session? We can call back anybody for further questions or comments if we need to, but anyone else like to speak in public session and public open session? Okay, hearing then, we'll close the public hearing then and move back to commissioners for further comments or questions of any staff or folks here that might have something to offer.
I'd just like clarification one more time on what's before us this evening with respect to the resolution that's coming before us as planning commissioners.
You have a draft resolution before you that's recommending approval of ordinance amendment number 2009-2. And Ordinance Amendment 2009-2 states what the city attorney's interpretation is, and that is that nothing requires the city of Reedley to allow dispensaries. So Ordinance Amendment 2009-2 will state that dispensaries are prohibited. It also states and recognizes, very clearly recognizes, the rights of a patient to grow and use medical marijuana in Reedley. So you're making a recommendation for Ordinance Amendment Number 2009-2 that prohibits medical marijuana dispensaries in the city, but also recognizes a bona fide medical marijuana user's right to use and
grow
medical marijuana for their purpose.
Within the confounds of their residence, right. Private residence. Okay.
There is one more thing that I'd like to add.
Just a minute. We'll come back to you in a minute here. Did you get that clarified, John, as much as you need to?
Yeah, I guess my confusion is I'm looking at resolution number 2009-13. That's different than 2009-2 that you mentioned on the agenda?
Parentheses.
Where's it? Oh, okay. Okay. I got it. Okay. Okay.
David, John, if I could interject.
Sure.
Summary of ordinance 2009-6.
Oh, it's an amendment.
This is, in essence, what we're really looking at?
Correct. And it better clarifies something I may have stated incorrectly, and that is it's also prohibiting collective or cooperative cultivation in the city.
Okay, and that's a very important point to touch on.
What page are you on?
Page 6.
Page 6 of the staff report.
Yeah.
Under what number again?
Summary of ordinance 2009-6 under cultivation item 3.
Okay. I'm good.
Yeah, you're a couple pages
I'm
back.
Way ahead of
you're
you.
On another page.
I'm in another world. Okay.
For the chief, if it's the appropriate time. Chief, if, you know, God forbid this gentleman who uses medical marijuana, some reason you get word that he's got marijuana at his place, and you go in and find out that he does have marijuana, but he does have the medical card also.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something in place now that would prevent you from going in to begin with, that you would have available to you up front, that we know that there is medical marijuana at this residence, so that citizenry wouldn't be bothered ahead of time? You don't understand what I'm saying?
You mean like some preemptive information?
Preemptive information.
Only if I had the information on Brian, and I already had his medical marijuana card information, I could do a check before I ever went there to determine whether he was a medical marijuana patient, legitimate patient, so that he was entitled to have marijuana. So, but if I didn't have that information to conduct that search, there's no other method for me to know other than actually making personal contact and physically seeing that card.
In this day and age, would it be practical to make personal contact first and ask, and I may be very naive here, and ask, you have this medical marijuana card, so that we don't have to, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, well...
I know it's a touchy...
Yeah, and depending on the kind of allegation we get, depending on the circumstances of our a background check of the residence to see if we had any history on a particular residence, other than the fact that Brian lives in the county, so we probably wouldn't be over there anyway. But just if he did, there's methods for us to run local histories on residents to see who lives there and things like that. And it would largely depend on the kind of history we had at a residence and the type of allegation it was.
Prior complaints and...
Right. Some, and in some instances...
Covered thing going or something like that, or...
Right. You know, and there are entities we can check with that are both state and national clearinghouses that allow us to determine if somebody is under investigation for something, and so we can verify those things to either confirm that they are or not. In most cases, our first course of action would be just to simply knock on somebody's door, you know, and say, we got an allegation, can we talk? There was one instance where we didn't. We had to obtain a search warrant first because we didn't have any intelligence on the address, and it was up in the mountains, and the medical marijuana was actually attempted to be transported through the mail, which is a federal offense anyway. and we hit on our narcotics dog, hit on the package, and we served a search warrant at the residence, and he was completely within the law. He had all of his medical marijuana stuff posted in his house. He had a grow, and everything was completely legal. And so we didn't bother any of his current supply because he was completely legal, but he was cautioned not to transport it in the mail anymore. No criminal charges were filed. We just confiscated the stuff he did send in the mail. And
was he sending that to another medical marijuana user, or you wouldn't know that?
Well, no, he was sending it to a relative.
Oh.
And it was all marked, you know, what kind it was. It was all different types and styles, and it was just kind of a thing that says, hey, look what I'm growing, check this out.
Sampler package,
yeah, care package. So we don't know if the person on the other end was a medical marijuana patient or not. And it actually was, you know, was not part of the equation. It was just a federal offense to transport a Schedule I controlled substance through the mail.
So. Can you use UPS?
No. No transport through the mail.
Can't do it.
Okay.
But, the short answer is, you know, that because of our understanding of this law and how it impacts law enforcement and the public now, we do handle things a little bit differently when we do get allegations on marijuana grows within the city limits at private residences.
Speak to that a little bit more on that. Number three, under the cultivation, prohibits collective or cooperative cultivation in the city. What's the basis of that?
This particular provision doesn't allow that collectives really aren't part of the legal definition of what they are. It's the cooperatives. We don't want the cooperatives to begin to develop within city limits. That's when you're going to start seeing a commercial building being utilized by, you know, by several people for doing indoor grows and that kind of thing. And that's something I think from a planning, zoning maybe perspective, I don't know that we want to have that in the city limits. Large cooperative grows, I think, if they're going to develop them, should be in a more rural area.
Hmm. I see we're on cultivation number one, where it says it requires that the cultivation of marijuana occur in a secure, locked, and fully enclosed structure, including a ceiling, roof, or top. I see where some people bought some brand new homes in Fresno, and they converted it completely into a
grow house.
Yeah. Sure. They paid $500,000 for the house, and they were, you know, but medical marijuana with the recommendation can grow their own in the city?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so individual patients or caregivers can grow medical marijuana at their own private residence.
And that definition of caregiver that was printed here, is that from the Attorney General's guidance?
Yes, that's quoted directly from the Attorney General.
Okay. So like a dispensary, it has to be transported.
Correct, and that's one of the issues we come up with is that the medical marijuana that dispensaries provide has to be grown and then transported. And there's no provision in the law for transportation
right.
of a Schedule I controlled substance. And so, you know, that's what makes it kind of difficult as well. And that's why the lines are kind of blurred, is that, you know, which part do we enforce and which do we not? You know, if we stop somebody who's transporting a large amount of, you know, got 100 pounds of marijuana in their trunk, processed, and they have a caregiver card, and that says that they are a caregiver to, you know, to 100 people, is that legal?
Have a nice day.
Exactly.
Or you could confiscate it.
We could, but problem is that that caregiver is going to be able to get that marijuana back. And so we have to make a decision on whether we're going to challenge, you know, take a hardline challenge and confiscate it and then have to keep it in the manner that it was during the whole process. And when we return it, it has to be returned exactly in the same
condition
it was in when we took it. Otherwise, we have to pay the... you know, what it's worth. And sometimes, you know, we just say, thank you very much. There you go.
I saw that happen in the city of Visalia where that man
right.
had 12 pounds or something confiscated.
Mm-hmm.
He went through the court proceedings and stuff, and they gave him his merchandise back.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, product.
Property back.
Mm-hmm.
Where there seems to be some confusion is primary caregiver in cooperative or dispensary. So there's a provision in this ordinance amendment that allows an individual who has a card and a recommendation to grow it for themselves. There's also a provision that allows a primary caregiver to grow it for their patient. That doesn't seem to be the common occurrence. The dispensaries are not primary caregivers. They're people that are growing it for the purpose of dispensing it to cardholders. And our ordinance is prohibiting that from happening. According to the law, we've got to allow a primary caregiver to cultivate it themselves, and we have to allow a...
cooperative.
Not a cooperative. No. We have to allow a patient to grow it for themselves or a primary caregiver to grow it for their patient.
Okay.
And that's what this ordinance amendment does. But it doesn't allow something that isn't addressed, which is allowing any individual to grow it for the purpose of dispensing it to a bona fide cardholder.
Within our community. If this passes.
In the city of Reedley, yeah.
And the caregiver could go outside the community, or in this case would go outside the community and be able to access it to provide to the end user that needs it. Is that...
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, caregivers can travel.
Just like you said, they can have that amount. They have their card. They have their patients.
Right.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, and they can, and the recommendation, and I think it's in the Attorney General's recommendation, is that they prefer, and I don't think it's absolute, but traveling within the city or county. They can, if, like, I couldn't be a caregiver of somebody in Kern County.
Okay.
That would be a little bit...
of a stretch.
A stretch, yeah.
I have a question. With regard to the county's, Fresno County's, guidelines or ordinances, how do they differ in regard to a cooperative? And where I'm going with this is that if Reedley adopts this recommendation as it's written, what is there anything that prohibits a cooperative from being set up immediately outside of our city limits?
No.
Okay.
I spoke with the sheriff yesterday, actually, because we were discussing, you know, our mutual interests in, you know, in this whole process, and the county currently has no such ordinance that...
there's no definition, or there's nothing that defines...
There's nothing that restricts it in the county.
That being the case, the legitimate medical marijuana user at least has access to the marijuana that can be grown within the county by a caregiver,
or
I should say, or yeah, by a caregiver, I guess, The question then comes, are there legitimate raisers of the product or providers of the product that he can get it from?
I don't know.
Because I can't just go out in the county and just grow marijuana and wait for a provider to show up and buy my marijuana.
No, you have to be a member of that.
Be a member cooperative.
You've got to be a member of a cooperative.
To be legal.
So it can be done, but it's a complex, fairly complex.
It's a process.
But, you know, this is something that is in transition. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, maybe less than that, we've been talking about this kind of thing.
Even Arnold Schwarzenegger is thinking about legalizing it in California.
Think you am?
He mentioned that, what, about 3, 4, 5 months ago when the state owed, what, $3 billion or something?
I thought he was going to be able to tax something new.
Yeah. Huh? He wanted to tax it, but he, I don't know.
Well, if the day comes, when the day comes, marijuana is legitimized, you know, I think most people would expect that it's going to be available through a pharmacy. And that's where the...
appropriate.
It might be more appropriate and also...
regulated.
Yeah, it can be regulated more carefully, too, because right now, it's like anything else. You know, I read a great deal about the treatment for malaria in some third world countries. They're passing out sugar pills, and nobody can identify that. And so they got millions there, or thousands of people literally dying from getting a sugar pill that they thought was anti-malaria.
Vaccine or something.
So right now there's really not much regulation.
Wow.
How do you know what you get? I mean, other than the whatever buzz you get.
What kind of product I'm getting?
Yeah, how do you know?
As far as like how safe is it and all that kind of stuff, you basically got to trust the doctor or the dispensary that's dispensing to you through their dog.
But you, not a doctor. I mean, and doctors are not typically involved in this.
They usually have it certified and it says that this is free of all contaminants and all that kind of stuff, and it's completely safe for use. That's usually what goes on any kind of product that you would get.
Wow. But it's not approved by the FDA or anybody like that. It's simply their word. You're hoping it's accurate.
Sometimes they'll say it's intended to be free of contaminants and stuff like that.
Because, for example, I've heard quite recently that the marijuana that's developed now is much more powerful than the stuff that was being smoked back in the 60s when it first appeared.
Well, I would say that the marijuana that is commonly available to the masses is definitely of higher quality, but people have had high quality stuff since back in the day. This wasn't available to everybody. Anyone that involves in any kind of horticulture, you know, you're not going to spend 60 years and not learn something, you know what I mean?
Sure.
It's not like just recently, oh my gosh, we just developed these super strains. Anyone that's been involved in horticulture for the last 100 years has had access to high-quality marijuana.
I wonder what percentage of our, I guess what we would most consider legitimate doctors hand out these notes. Do we have any idea on that?
There are some numbers. I'm sorry I don't have them, but I know that there are a list of doctors who actually commonly, you know, do medical marijuana evaluations, but for the most part, any doctor can do it. Any doctor who has an MD
and is in good standing with the state of California
and is in good standing and has not lost. And one of the issues we discussed yesterday, and this was one of the issues from the federal government, is the license to prescribe. Doctors can lose their license to prescribe, but still maintain their license to practice medicine. And they're trying right now to say that any doctor who's lost their license to prescribe cannot recommend medical marijuana. But that's not the case, because since it's not a prescription, it doesn't fall under the rules of prescription medication. So the doctors who have even lost their license to prescribe can still recommend medical marijuana.
Because it's a recommendation.
Because it's just a recommendation for therapy, not a prescription under the FDA.
But when you're recommending something that is in no way regulated, and they don't know what your source is. They don't know that, whether it's contaminated or not, whether it's of a certain level of potency or not. I talked to a doctor about this, and he said our liability insurance would not allow us any. We were talking specifically prescription. But I can't imagine a doctor giving a recommendation for marijuana because there's no legitimate source of it. I mean, you don't know where it comes from, how potent it is, what contaminants are there, how clean it is, what facility developed it. There's all kinds of questions in my mind. That's like telling, hey, pick up that soda bottle over there. I want to know at least that it's Pepsi Cola.
Right. There is an extract version of the active substance in marijuana that is available by prescription. And both of the, I can't remember the name of the
Marinol.
Yes, thank you. And it's available by prescription. And it's, but there are some differences in how that reacts as opposed to the natural form of marijuana. So it's not broadly accepted by the by medical marijuana patients because of some of its side effects, I think.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, any more questions?
Yeah,
no. Tell me you got a comment you want to make, Kat. Yeah.
I'd like to say that not being able to verify where you get and what you get and where it comes from is one of the reasons why we should have dispensaries. The more dispensaries we have, it gives people more incentive. It's like healthy business competition. I know we don't want to talk about it being a business, but it's like any kind of other competition. The person that has the best high-quality product is usually going to win out. By discouraging dispensaries, people are forced to go and get stuff off the street, which they definitely have 0% chance of verifying what's in that stuff. So I would say for health reasons, dispensaries are very important. Also, for someone like me, I'm younger, whatever, you know, I'm fairly middle class. For me to have to grow my own marijuana, you know, I could afford to do that if I needed to. I could go and just devote some of my money to get grow lights or whatever to grow my own marijuana. Someone who is, say for instance, like a Section 8 housing, someone that lives in an apartment, someone that is on welfare, while they may still have the same needs as I do as a patient, they don't have the same opportunity to go and do it themselves. They need somebody else's help to help them. And dispensaries are places that do that. They're wellness facilities that help the health of the patients that, you know, they have underneath them. So I would argue that we need dispensaries as a place to, you know, to effectively, you know, give people access to the medicine. And the Compassionate Use Act, you're allowed to cultivate, possess, use, and obtain marijuana. So like we've said here before, how are you supposed to obtain it? Well, the way that the California government has gone on to do that is by approving SB 420, the Senate bill, which, you know, basically sets down guidelines for dispensaries. And that's been said that is the state's response to that problem, is to allow this type of stuff to happen. So, you know, basically that's what I'm saying. Not everybody is the same. If you're poor people, should you have to drive out of county or out of city limits to go obtain your medicine? It seems to me that we'd have an interest in providing local and safe access for medicine, which a dispensary would provide. Also, if people are forced to go outside of city limits to get medicine, that's not preventing them from doing it. Basically, everything is still the same. It's just not going to allow it in the city. And I don't understand what's the problem with having it in the city. I've heard a lot of people tell me that they think it's distasteful and stuff of that nature. And, you know, I've been to places before in Oakland, which I would say are distasteful, right? But that doesn't mean that, I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry, I came up here kind of unprepared. I learned about this meeting at 3:30 today, so I had about an hour, and that's about it, to try to get as much information as they possibly could together to present. Basically, my point is that dispensaries provide safe access for people that need it, and that to force people to go somewhere else to get their medicine is not what we should try to do as the city of Reedley. I think we should allow patients to have safe access and, you know, get involved with it to, you know, so we, can ensure that the product is the quality that it's supposed to be and, you know, all that type of stuff. That's basically all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you. We do appreciate you coming, too.
I was going to say, there's a lot of people that are very, very scared to come today. I try to get a lot of people that I know, a lot of patients that I know to come. I try to get people that are in support of dispensaries to come. Nobody wants to come. They're all afraid that they're going to get, marked. Mm-hmm. No, here I am, medical marijuana patient. This is a thing, an issue, that if you're not against it, people usually keep quiet. And so it could seem that, you know, like I'm the only one here today, you know, it could seem that it's a minority opinion. Everything that's been passed usually, you know, about medical marijuana is passed by a majority. You know, when it comes time to vote, of public opinion about medical marijuana and dispensaries is usually favorable. You know, almost every place, you know, here in California. And I understand that, you know, we're a little more conservative here in Reedley. But I just wanted to make sure that, you know, this is not just my opinion. This is the opinion of many, many people that I come to speak for. And, you know, it's an issue that a lot of people here in the city of Reedley, you know, would like to see something like that happen.
See, the problem comes, in my mind, is because I've spoken to a lot of people, too, who have sympathy for the medical marijuana use. But controlling it and keeping it under to be used in the right situations. The state's certainly not giving us enough guidance there. And in fact, I don't think anybody has all the answers for that. We've been preaching to kids for years and years, stay away from marijuana.
Right.
And now suddenly we're saying, well, hey, it's okay to grow it. It's okay to do all these things, you know, in essence, sell it. And suddenly we're going to turn our... flip around 180 degrees and say, oh, it's okay to grow it, it's okay to sell it, it's okay.
Well, it makes us look bad to change positions, but that doesn't mean that it's the wrong position.
No, I'm not saying it's just, I don't care about looking bad sometimes. It comes as, is it the right thing to do?
Right.
You know, is it the right thing to do? In my mind, when it's accepted to the degree that you can go down to your pharmacy and buy it, I'll feel much better about that than to say, you know, if I want to provide a dispensary, I'll, you know, go grow it out.
I'm upset about that myself also. I just think that in order to get to that spot, that we have to take these progressive steps to get there. And I think that having dispensaries in our town is one of those steps.
Okay, commissioners, we've got to give our good advice to the city council on this. There'll be another chance you can get your crowd to come to city council.
I'll have more time to do some research.
Any more questions or comments from commissioners?
Where are most cities placing dispensaries? In what zone? Not that, you know, that's going to happen here, but just out of curiosity now.
I have not looked into that.
Okay.
I would say they're mostly in the downtown districts, usually in the rundown section of town. And that a lot of different times it's helped out that district and the city to economically. Mm. And it's helped to, you know, renovate that area a lot of different times to bring the businesses to businesses that don't normally get business. Mm.
Thanks for sharing that.
Okay, commissioners. Any other questions, comments? Are we ready for some action on this?
I guess for now it would be nice to have cooperatives instead of dispensaries until we move forward. You know, if this is the law, you can't stop it, I guess, you know. Just like Brian says, if they don't have, where they're going to go to the street to buy it, or, you know, they're going to, and now they're closing dispensaries, so if they don't cultivate it or grow it themselves, how are they going to obtain that medicine for them, you know?
Well, theoretically, if I lived in a Chapter 8 housing or an apartment like you mentioned, I could have a caregiver somewhere else
right.
who could grow it in their backyard. Could I not?
Not in the backyard. It's got to be in an
well, in an enclosed area.
In your at your residence.
Well,
right?
Let's just say I can't do it because I'm in an apartment.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. There. I could theoretically find a caregiver. Now, the definition of caregiver here is consistently assumed responsible for the housing, health, or safety of a patient or person. So it's a fairly strict definition there. So I can't just look up on Craigslist and find a caregiver, I guess, huh?
I don't know. You might be able to.
Might be able to, but it's not ready.
Responsible for my housing, health, or safety. Yeah, you know, you can stretch that as far as you want to, I guess.
Well, you know, I had two grandmas that lived to 94. And, you know, they suffered at the end, and their drug of choice was morphine. But neither one of them drove, and I suppose that I could have been their caregiver if the doctor had prescribed this to them. Right?
Sure.
Yeah, and I'd have to go find a cooperative someplace and bring that to them.
No, you'd have to grow it in your
well, yeah.
confined area in your backyard.
In a horticulture major, I probably could.
I don't know what it is. Well, transitions are always painful, and they're often slower than either first supporters would want it.
Well, this was reviewed by the city attorney.
Absolutely.
The ordinance itself was prepared by the city attorney.
Okay.
George, we can at any time we can make a motion.
Yeah, if we're ready for a motion. I think we are.
I think we are.
I'd like to motion for approval to ordinance amendment number 20092, prohibiting medical marijuana dispensaries and regulating medical marijuana cultivation in the city of Reedley.
Okay, as written.
As written.
Is there a second on that?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay. Any further comment or questions?
Call for the question.
Question, please.
Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Commissioner Clements?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. Okay, that will move on to the council. Approximately what date, David, will that go to the council?
Possibly December 8th.
December 8th, possibly. Okay.
And Cordo will contact planning staff, and we'll let them know when it's going to be scheduled. So there will be a public hearing notice for that also.
Okay. All right, we'll move then to commission comments and reports.
You might. Yeah. That way you'll have those references.
Good, thank you very much.
Commission comments and reports, anything for the good of the cause? Al, you haven't spotted anything in the last couple of weeks?
Yes, I'm still spotting the palm trees over there on Reed Avenue. Can't turn. The line goes all the way to the back of Reedley College. Just because they can't make that right turn, there's only space for three cars there. If they would knock both four palm trees out, they can get that traffic out of there and get that congestion out of Reed Avenue. I look at that every day because I go through there with my mail truck. And that's a nuisance.
Nobody has any respect for a mail truck, right?
No. And I have to go all the way to the light, almost, to make a U-turn and come back to serve my, you know, but
don't you know how many people would get tarred and feathered if they took those palm trees out?
Pardon me?
You know how many people would get tarred and feathered?
Four.
Probably robbed right off the bat.
Four palm trees? They got, what, 30 more down the line?
mean, that's for...
Have you no respect for history?
That's history. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, that I have respect for history, but nobody has respect for traffic. I mean, give me a break. You go by there every day at 12 o'clock, and you'll find out yourself. I go by there every day. People doesn't, you know, they maybe they didn't do the study enough or something.
I'm sure, Rob, you're probably studying that right now, aren't you?
Absolutely.
I knew you would be.
I haven't looked at it for quite a while. Right?
Yeah. You see any problem there?
I drive it every morning.
You see any problem there?
Do I see a problem?
You know, traffic problem?
I'm probably not at liberty to share what I think.
I don't say that.
You don't want to share that.
We can talk about.
Yeah, because it just didn't start now. It's been there for a while, you know, and I look at it every day. And, man, I wonder. And it, I mean, I'm sitting there. That's it.
I think you can do better than that poor palm tree complaint.
Four palm trees.
Yeah, maybe they can move a few to the sports park.
Yeah, transport them over there. It costs you about $2,000 to remove them each, probably.
And put up a plaque.
From Reedley College.
From Reedley College donation.
T.L. Reed family.
Yeah, exactly.
That would
you
fun.
Don't have to. You don't have to destroy them.
Let's move on. Anything else for the good of the cause tonight? David, anything new coming up? Or,
our next meeting is scheduled for December 3rd.
December
3rd. That is going to be at the community center.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that is for the Reedley Family Apartments project.
Yeah, so. You didn't fall for my pleas. That's the night of the...
parade.
It is.
Parade.
Every
parade.
Year. Yeah.
We're going to have to change that meeting. Parade.
Well, we'll see what we can
what's going to be on the agenda? The one on the low-income housing. Yeah. So we're going to have a whole section of town angry with us, too.
In
addition to...
They can't be any angrier than what they are now.
It's high density, isn't it?
Yes, it's an affordable housing project.
Oh, affordable.
And it is
high density. But that's also fair to call it that, right? High density?
Yes.
So it's at 5 o'clock at the community center, huh?
Yes.
5 o'clock, December 3rd.
Kind what are we going to hear there, David? Are we going to hear...
You'll have the environmental impact report.
We're going to miss it again.
Project entitlements.
You'll have an environmental impact and what?
Environmental impact report, general plan amendment, zoning change, and a conditional use permit. It's the same project that came before.
So we're going to look at the whole thing again, just the addition of the environmental impact report. Okay.
You're going to miss
it. And that was noticed in the Reedley Exponent, I believe, today.
That was the only thing that was missing from last time, right? The EIR? The environmental?
Correct.
Okay. So, okay.
You better tell Molly not to expect Barney at the parade, because I won't be there.
Yeah.
She'll have to come over and see him.
But I can't take my grandkids there.
We don't have any options on moving that night, or moving the time.
It's been noticed since, I believe, September 10th. When the draft environmental impact report was being circulated. Mm-hmm. So that date was picked back then, prior to us being certain of what December 3rd was. What action you take that night remains to be seen, whether you continue anything. I wouldn't anticipate that we would discuss that now and schedule that, but you're going to have options to continue if you need to. 5 o'clock.
Is what the parade is? What time?
7.
We might.
So we got 2 hours. Yeah. Anything after 6:45, we're going to continue to the next
table.
Any advice, Cheryl? Where are you going to be, Cheryl? At our? You're going to be with us.
Oh, for how long?
Until it's over.
Huh? See, the longer we go, the better storyline Cheryl gets.
Yeah.
7 o'clock, huh?
It's going to happen.
We'll make it.
No, it won't. I'll tell you right now. How long did the last one go?
Like you said, we can move it.
3 hours.
Yeah, I thought it was at least 2.
Yeah, who presents EIR? You do that?
I'm sorry, what was that?
We'll present the project and Quadnop. It's the consultant that prepared the EIR. They'll be available.
It'll be 4. I'm going to predict 4, 4.5.
4 hours.
Better eat before we get there, huh?
I think we better have pizza.
Well, they're going to have
Aren't they going to have anything for us then?
Pardon me?
Well, they did last time.
We better have pizza.
They did sandwiches for the planning commission and the members and stuff. Oh, we don't have no fun.
Just get a high energy bar about halfway through.
Energy
I'll
bar.
I'll bring those for you.
Okay.
Personally, I'm a little disgusted at having to miss the parade myself.
I know. You can't take a grandkid.
I know.
I have a granddaughter for a few years, and I want to share that with her. So.
Molly was upset. I got a personal Facebook thing because Barney didn't show up for Fiesta. And
that's right.
I said, I'll make it happen for
parade night. You're in the doghouse. You're in the doghouse.
I'm the voice of Barney.
Well, maybe we'll set it up for next year. We're not going to have a meeting first Thursday of December. How's
we
that?
Should know that. I mean, isn't that...
Yeah.
Isn't that
you know, the first
parade?
Thursday of December, yeah.
Yeah.
And we already have a meeting the second Thursday of December, right?
No, but next year, I'm saying.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah. Next year, we'll say no meeting the first. Okay. First Thursday of December.
That's the date of the parade.
Yeah, I know. No, they usually don't. It's always been, I think, on the first, isn't it?
It has been.
On the first Thursday of the month.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll adjourn the meeting.